That the study of the word is not a moment, not a moment thing or a time of the day thing, but it's a lifestyle. You never stop studying the word, even when you ain't got the book right in front of you. That's why God gave us a good memory, amen, so that we can even ponder. When talks about meditation, talking about pondering the word, going over it, muttering it. So you can do that, I mean, pretty much anywhere. So you don't have to be in Bible study, or you don't have to be in class, or you don't have to be on your knees in your meditation closet, or however you do that. You can. It's all day long, anytime. I'm having a great time. How can I say this? I'm having a great time with Revelation. I think it's coming more clear. Every day is getting more clear. Revelation is inexhaustible. You can't run out of God, so you can't run out of Revelation. He is the Revelation, and it's inexhaustible, so it's always coming. It's always coming. I heard Apostle say this one day, and then he said that night, he said, you know, the scripture says, and his train filled the temple. When you look at translation, it said his train filled the temple, and it kept coming. Almost doesn't make sense. You can fill something up, but still be getting more. It seems like once something is full, can't no more get in there, but God is different. He's constantly coming. Just when you think you understand him, he got something else to show you about him. He's always trying to show us. Listen to me. He's always trying to show us something new about who he is. When we find out who he is, we find out who we are. When we see him clear, we see us clear. All right? When we come to see him clear, then we're clear on everything else. Until we see him clear, we're not clear on everything else. It's foggy. You remember the man Jesus laid hands on? The blind man, he laid hands on him. And he said, I see men walking the street. Well, he wasn't clear. He was open, but wasn't clear. You see it? He was open, but wasn't clear. He wasn't in the dark anymore, but he wasn't clear. So it's a possibility that can be us, huh? That's true. And I asked Jesus, I told you this before, I asked Jesus, I said, well, Lord, why did you do that? Why did you do it like that? I know you had the power to do it on the first time. Yeah, I know you don't have a principle, let me lay hands on him again and put a little bit more power in there, but it was for us. Everything that he did in that Bible, said we study the word and look for Jesus and look for him. Everybody say, look for him. Come on, say it again, say, look for him. And when you go in the scripture, you look for him. You're looking for Jesus, all right? You're not looking about Jesus. Or you're not looking to see what Jesus, but you're looking for him. You look for him. If you look for him, you'll find him. And you'll see him. All right? And you'll understand him. And you'll be able to live like him. The Ephesians 4 is talking about, and we're talking about this in another class, but it says, until we come to a perfect man, until the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, for the longest, in Ephesians 4, you read it on your own time, and it says, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I knew what that was, that we measure up and we look like Christ looks. We have the same build and we have the same weight. When we walk in the room, we have the same weight that Jesus would have when he walked in the room, all right? So I understood that, but in the knowledge of the Son of God, I was overlooking that until I realized, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, I realized what was going on. I realized what was going on that he's talking about until we come into the knowledge, to the knowledge of the knowledge. He said, of the knowledge of the Son of God. So it's not that you know the Son of God, not that you just know of him, but you're operating from the knowledge of the Son of God. Y'all get me? So you're living your life from his knowledge. You're operating from there. So now you don't just know him, but you know like him. Y'all get that? You don't just know him, but you know like him. Let this mind be in you is also in Christ Jesus. You know like he knows. So you think like he thinks. So you operate from the knowledge of the Son of God. So everything that you're doing, you're operating from that knowledge and not your own. All right? So this is a great thing. This is a great thing to be every day seeking out what God is trying to show you. He always trying to show you. It's always an adventure. Every day is an adventure. If you didn't go on that adventure today, you wasn't looking. It don't never get old. No, y'all understand me. It never gets old. It never gets stale. It's never warmed over, leftover food, right? It's always fresh and hot. It's always something new. It's always something special. And he's showing us stuff about ourselves and about everything around us. And so it's a great thing. Now, I'm going to say this statement, and it sounds like a play on words, but I'll say this. You got it. Let me say this to you. You got it, but do you get it? Say, I got it. But ask yourself, but do I get it? Good statement, huh? I got it, but do you get it? You got it, but do you get it? You have it, but do you get what you have? Do you really get it? See, revelation is not to be, and we'll read the scripture in a minute, but revelation is not to be lived towards, it's to be lived from. Many times in the word of faith and in different teachings, we've learned that we do these things, and we do these things to work towards revelation. We do enough to be good enough to have enough going on so that we're worthy of revelation coming for us. But you know you're not worthy anyway, right? You remember in Ephesians 2, it said, it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, all right? All right, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells well. All right, you have overcome them, little children. Why? Huh? Great is he that's where? That's in you. That's in you, right? Right. So great is he that's in you. The same spirit is in you, all right? All right, it's already on the inside. Say it. Come on, say it again. It's already on the inside. Come on, say it again. It's already on the inside. So you got it, but do you get it? Now, if life ain't changing, if you ain't changing, then you don't get it. You got it, but you don't get it. It is asinine. It is ridiculous. It is fully ignorant. It is you name the word that's degrading enough, and that's what it is to walk around here having it but not getting it. The whole point is for us to look like Christ. That's the goal. Where you went today, you should look like Christ. What you put your hands to today? Whatever Christ's hands should have done in that situation, your hands should have did it. What you dealing with, they got some lack in there because Jesus ain't had no lack. What you dealing with sickness and disease? Well, Jesus didn't deal with that. When Jesus spoke, Jesus said it, Jesus came up to it, it had to bow down. At the name of Jesus, listen to me. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We're not talking about J-E-S-U-S. Praise God for that. But we're talking about the character. When you're talking about a name, you're talking about a character. Are y'all with me? So at the character of Jesus, so what that means is, you ready? You ready? Yes, you ready? So that means when I walk in with the character of Jesus, it responds to me like it responds to Jesus. See, I don't need it to see me. It's already been seeing me. It's been seeing, life has been seeing me. And it's been trying to get me not to see Christ in me. It's been trying to blind my eyes so I wouldn't realize who I really am in Christ and Christ in me. You got it? But we're not living to get good enough. You're already good enough. All right? In Christ, the Bible says, I am made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. No, no, made is a strong word. Everybody say made. But now, when I make you do something, it is not a request. It is not a question. It is not a choice. I have made you that way. You are made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So not because you're through Christ Jesus and Christ is in you, you're already righteous. You already look like God. You already have the power to speak the words like Jesus spoke them. You already got it. Say, I got it. Come on. But do you get it? Matthew 16. I'm going to read a little bit. Verse 13. Now, I'm going to talk to you about revelation because revelation is a personal thing. You got to get it. You've got to get it. Listen to me. No. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to the type of get it that I'm saying. I'm not saying get it. I'm saying get it. Y'all see me? You got to look at me. I'm not saying go get this book. Go get, no, not go get, no. Get it. Now you got to understand it. And all that getting, get what? Everybody say, get it. Come on, put your hands on your head. Say, I got to get it. Come on, say it again. I got to get it. No. The problem with you getting it is not your spirit because your spirit is already made perfect. All right? So that's not the problem. The problem is up here. So we're talking about conditioning. Everybody say conditioning. We're talking about that in the other class about conditioning. So we have to condition ourselves to be able to understand what's going on. This is why I meditate day and night. This is why, in this law, I love the law. And in this law does I meditate. Psalm 119 keep talking about how you love the law. You love his statute. You love his word. See, those things, you love his word. Those things condition you to know who you really are. Now, what happens is when you're not conditioned, or what happens when the air conditioning ain't on, then you ain't feeling like you should. You don't get the conditions in the room. If you're not conditioned, then you don't have the conditions that's conducive for what you want. So you feel like it get a little hot or it's a little too cold because it ain't been conditioned. You haven't been, when you are conditioned, listen to me, when you are conditioned, then you have control over the conditions. conditioned with an ED controls conditions. Are y'all with me? Come on, come on, come on, come on now. Come on, come on, come on. Being conditioned gives me the ability to control conditions. All right, let's go. Let's look at Jesus then right quick, all right? Jesus sleep in the bottom of the ship. He sleep. You ever been asleep before? Huh? Now, sometimes I don't know how different people sleep, but sometimes you need to turn the TV off. You can't hear no music on. You can't hear nothing loud. Some people sleep harder than others. Some people sleep soft. I'm the type of person, you can be blasting the speakers right in my ear, and if I'm tired enough, I'm going to sleep. All right? Sleep. So just sleep. You're resting. I believe Jesus had the best sleep, right? So now he in the bottom of the ship sleeping, and the winds and the waves get to tossing. The disciples who've been walking with him the whole time, he's been trying to teach them everything, got scared. You don't know who you got in the boat with you, but they got scared. You don't know who you got in the boat with you? No, I'm asking you, you don't know who you got in the boat with you? I don't know. Do you know who you got in the boat with you? Why are you so scared then? Why would we be scared? Why would we be answering like we don't know the answer? And I'm saying that for a reason. Because we got a condition, man. We always got to challenge ourselves to be better and know Christ more, all right? He in the ship. So now, when you're conditioned, let this mind be in you also in Christ, right? When you're conditioned, you control the conditions. So now he's sleeping about the boat. Lord, you're not worried that we perish? You're not worried. Now, they didn't understand the ship couldn't go down. That wasn't the way the prophecy said that was Jesus was going to go. That wasn't the way that Jesus had to die. So he couldn't go down. And I said, we got to understand that because the winds and the waves, the winds and the waves are merely mirages. They're trying to fool you about life. They're trying to fool you to make you think that you are something else other than what you are. Because if you ever understand, if you ever become conditioned, then everything is at your hands. So when you're conditioned, you control the condition. Lord, you don't care that we pass. You don't care that we... And Jesus come up there. And I believe Jesus... somebody ever woke you up and you ain't want to get up? Come on, church. Somebody woke you up for something crazy. And it's like you could have did this on your own. You mean to tell me you woke me up for that? Yeah. And all right, so you remember that feeling? You remember that? Come on. Do you remember that feeling? All right, so I suppose that Jesus got up like this. Can't believe y'all woke me up. You know how hard I worked today. And I can believe he said, I'm only a man. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to sleep. Would y'all let me sleep? Listen, I tried to teach y'all so y'all wouldn't have to wake me up for this. But anyway, since you had to wake me up, I got up. And the winds, and I'm sure, I'll use my imagination, y'all. You got to use your imagination. I'm sure Jesus came up on top of the boat and was like, this is what y'all talking about? This is what you came got me for right here. And peace be still. And the condition changed. Because he was conditioned already. Now, remember the conditioning Jesus had was, I only do what my Father tells me to do. Me and my Father are one. And when he kept on saying that, he said, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. I am only here to reveal the Father. So I ain't got no move. So I understand who I am. I understand why I'm here. I understand why he sent me here, why he put me here. So because he put me here for this reason, I know can't nothing take me out. Well, let's go a little further. You remember Jesus said, no, you don't take my life. He said, you don't have the power to do that. He said, in order for my life to be taken away from me, I got to give it. You get it? You could. Do you get it? Say, I got it. When I say you get it, say, I got it. Do you get it? All right, listen to this. So now, it couldn't be taken away from him. So Jesus had control over the condition. He got up and said, peace be still. You know, he did that again with Peter. Peter came in the walking water because Jesus came walking on the water. Now, if you go read it, he's walking past the ship. Jesus, see y'all, Lord, told, Holy Spirit told me yesterday, we don't go deep enough. We're not deep enough. We're real shallow with the word, and so we really don't know what's going on. If we go deeper, we'll go higher. Listen to me. So he walking the way he going. Jesus didn't pray in tongues to step there, make that first step on the water. He's just going where he going. He's got control over the condition because I am conditioned. I know that this stuff around here can't control me. I control it. This matter, you know, Jesus was walking through walls when he came back from resurrection. This stuff don't control me. I control it. All right? I have dominion. Just like in the beginning, I got dominion. All right? He restored us back to the Garden of Eden. I got dominion. So he said, he's just walking the way he's going. And Peter with his crazy self, you know, Peter crazy boy. Peter got some stuff in them stores in there, boy. Peter was doing all kinds of stuff, cutting the ears, and then we read the scripture. Peter got the revelation. Next minute, he the devil. Right? Peter caught the fish with the money in the mouth. Peter casting that. Peter did some stuff, boy. I appreciate Peter. Peter was a wild man, though, all right? But here go Peter saying, Lord, if that's you. Lord, everybody was scared to see a ghost walking on. He said, Lord, that's you. If that's you, let me come. He said, come. Peter took that step. Boom. But then he lost conditioning. He forgot who he was. Listen to the statement I'm saying. He forgot who he was. He forgot who he was, Jesus was, therefore he forgot who he was. All right? So he forgot. So now, at the minute that he forgot and took his eyes off of Jesus and started paying attention to the condition more than paying attention to the master. Paying attention to the condition more than paying attention to the master. I'm going to say it again. Paying attention to the condition more than he's paying attention to. Don't forget this. What you focus on expands. Whatever you focus on expands in your life. Whatever you focus on grows. So now you look at the circumstance and look at everything around you, and immediately he began to sing. Thank God for Jesus. Everybody say thank God for Jesus. Jesus grabbed him and held him up, you know what I'm saying, and brought him on in, even though he had little faith, brought him on in. But then they say, then as soon as they got to the ship, everything calmed down. You keep on reading. We stopped right there when Jesus picked him out of the water. No. As soon as he got to the ship, everything calmed down. He did it again. He did it again. He made the storms and the wind cease. He had control over the conditions because he was conditioned. The same thing with you. You have control over the what condition is it that's bothering you right now? You have control over the conditions when you become conditioned. Now, you already got it, but do you get it? See, I'm not working towards something. I'm working from something. Now, everything you hear, like you might hear something that'll strike you tonight, it's just making you more aware of what's already on the inside of you. Huh? It's just making you more clear and giving you the ability to be more conditioned to what you already have. Got it, do you get it? Live from revelation, not to it. Live from it, not to it. Live from it. I'm going to say it again. Live from revelation, not to revelation. You get it? You live from, do you get it? All right, you live from revelation, not trying to attain it. You get it? But you already got it. All right? Now, revelation may come forth from a man of God or somebody speaking, but all that's doing is revelation meeting revelation in you already. Is Jesus in you or not? Yeah. Right? Come on, he's in there already. Well, how do you make him better? Come on, somebody give me that revelation. Somebody give me that revelation on how to make God better. But he's on the inside. The same spirit is on the inside of you. But do you get it? Now, see, this is why we got to read so much and study the word to condition. See, what? I say this, whatever you're conditioned towards, that's why you got to watch what you're putting in your ear and watch who's talking to you, watch what you're reading, watch what you're watching. And like sometimes people think that stuff don't matter, but it makes all the difference. And the enemy is about as small foxes that spoil the vine. And it's little thing, he cunning and crafty. And, oh, it's just a movie. No, it's not. It's just a song. No, it's not. No. Because whatever you're conditioned toward, that's the condition that you have. Come on, y'all with it? Whatever. I noticed that revelation, when you realize revelation, it demands change in you. It automatically causes change. It does not ask any questions. It makes you. This is why I know people. This is why I know sometimes people sit in church and they don't really get revelation. They say amen, they scream it, they wrote it down, and they holler like they got it, but they ain't really get it because ain't nothing changed. They didn't really get what was going on. They didn't really get what the Holy Spirit was saying, because if you get it, then it happens. Revelation produces manifestation automatically. It's almost like wetting water. You can't get wet without water, but you can't have water without getting wet. The same thing when revelation, when you realize the revelation, that's when the manifestation is yours. It demands change. It demands you to be different. It demands your faith to stand taller. It demands you not to be fearful. It demands you to not be wavering. It demands you to not be doubtful. Revelation. Everybody say revelation. Now it's a revelation that you already got. Whenever you hear someone speaking, they're speaking, and they can speak revelation knowledge. It is opening you up. The Holy Spirit, when He's revealing things to you, He's opening you up to who you already are on the inside. That's what He's doing. Spirit says all things, yea, the deep things of God, deep down in you. That's what's going on. And when I hear a message like this, now I'm ready to pray in tongues right after this. I'm ready to pray in tongues all the way home. I'm going to show you why you should pray in tongues all the way home tonight. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something the Lord gave me. All right, y'all want me to give it to you? I'm going to give it to you a little later. Something the Lord showed me, and it changed my life. Gave it to me last week. Changed everything. Made everything clear for me. All right. Notice something. We're in Matthew 16. I want to teach you something. Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked who? He asked what? Go ahead. Verse 13, who He asked? Come on, y'all. Come on. Matthew 16, verse 13. Who did He ask? His disciples, with an S, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And saying, whom do men say that I am? Say that I, the Son of Man, am. And what it said? What are the next three words? And they said, they, who is they? All right, they said, all right. They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. And He said unto them, so now I'm seeing this, you ask the disciples, and then they said, they gave an answer. He asked them, they gave an answer, and then He said something else to them, because clearly that answer was the wrong one. Right? So I got to keep talking to you now, because you ain't got the right answer. So it says, verse 15, and He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And at verse 16, I want you to find yourself in there. Peter was a wild man, but Peter wasn't scared. See, if you really want to do something for the Lord, if you really want to make a difference, you can't do it timidly. You can't be afraid to get out the boat. You can't be afraid to jump out there. You know, the Lord showed me something. He said, David, they said David used it, he used them stones to kill Goliath. And they say it's smooth stones, right? You know, I understand something about the stones that the stones in the brook or in the river, they're made smooth and they're formed round because of the pressure of the water hitting up against it. But see, you got to be in the water. There are a lot of rocks that's on the bank, because they're scared to get in the water because they don't want to get wet because they think they're going to drown. There's a lot of rocks that's on the bank thinking they're doing the right thing, but they're still jagged and rough around the edges and never shape and make the form that God. No, you got to jump into the water. Hey, jump out there. I'd rather shoot for the moon and hit the stars than not shoot at all. So you can't be afraid to say, can I come out there? Let me step on the water. Peter was a wild man. Peter was cutting ears and stuff too. Now, I understand all that, right? Us too, amen. When every time we criticize somebody for something that we don't like in church or we start judging people, we done took the sword out and start cutting off ears. Jesus got to take them and put them back on. But you can't be afraid to jump in the water. If you don't jump in the water, you'll never get molded. If you don't step out into the deep, then you'll never be rounded to be what God wants you to be. You'll always be a jagged edge on the side of the brook. You're never in the game. Peter jumped out and said, now he's talking to them. Peter took it up on himself to say, I know who you are. They talking all this noise. I know. I'll answer. And he could have been wrong all day long. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art real absolute. Look how he said this. You real absolute. You got to use imagination when people are talking like this. You got to read it. You can't read it like reading a magazine tonight. You have to be real absolute. You have to understand how he said it. Thou art the Christ. He didn't say, I believe you the Christ. He said, well, I think you. No, he didn't say that. Tom Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed art thou. Blessed are you. Well, why are you blessed? Why are you blessed? Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So now Simon is blessed because he got a revelation. Simon is blessed because he gets it. Everybody say he get it. Come on, everybody say he get it. Come on, come on, say he gets it. So because he gets it, he got it. Now, y'all excuse me because I'm a play on words, but you got to flow with me. I had to pray in tongues a little bit. We're flowing. You got it, but you don't got it till you get it. All right. Perfect example. All right. This book represents manifestation. That's what I'm believing for. Like we've been believing for 30 years. All right. This is what I'm believing for. All right. What you believe in? All right, never mind. That's another conversation. All right, but that's the manifestation that I need, right? But I got it already. The same spirit that Jesus did dwells well. On the inside of who?
Me.
All right, so I got it already. So I got it. Everybody say I got it. All right, I got it. But I don't got it. Cause it's still right there. I don't got it. It's there, but I don't got it. It's easy to get to, but I don't got it. But I got it. How is it that I got it, but I don't got it? Because I don't get it. I got it. Everybody say, I got it. But when I get it, got it. See, you know, Bible talking about the first shall be last and last shall be first. They ain't talking about no people, no culture, or nothing like that. He's talking about flipping things backwards and upside down and inside out. That's what he's talking about. You got to go deeper to go higher. That don't make no sense. That doesn't make sense to the physical realm that you go deeper to go higher. What God is saying is I'm about to flip things from the inside out. I'm about to make it to where everything is on the inside is going to be on the outside. You get what I'm saying? Where it's going to be flipped. Where it's no longer that you're struggling. What's on the inside is going to be outside. I'm going to turn this thing around. But I got it. But I don't got it till I get it. I got it, but I got it, but I don't got the manifestation till I get it. Are y'all with that? Y'all understand it? Ain't too many flipping words and all that, right? Y'all get it? Do you get it? What you supposed to say when I say you get it? All right, come on now, stick with me now. You got it now. So now here we go. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Listen, all that stuff that he told Peter was going to go on because he understood the revelation. You're blessed. I'm a build my church on you. And I'm going to let you bind and loose whatever you want to. And it's going to be just like it is in heaven. Come on now. Come on. Same thing for you when we understand. When we realize the revelation. Remember when you legalize something, you make it legal. When you immunize something, you make it immune. So when you realize something, you make it real. So now we're in ministry school, we're in training center, huh? Well, now revelation determines how God can use me or not. Can he build the church on my shoulders or can he? Am I a pillar that he can build on or not? Depending on revelation. Depending on the revelation that I got already, but do I get it? Now, something about this is day and there's something, and I wrote this down on my phone. Getting revelation is not getting revelation. Now, y'all know what I mean when I say get it, right? Not going somewhere to grab it, but getting it, right? Getting revelation is not a group project. It's not a group discussion. I was glad when they said to me, let her go into the house of the Lord. I know the Bible says to forsake not the assembling yourselves as such. I love it when we come together like we are right now, when we come together in church service, and wherever church we go to. I love it when we get together, but at the end of the day, I understand that I've got to be paying attention and be ready to receive so that I can realize what's going on inside of me. I read a book one time and it started talking about Jesus and it broke me down. It broke me down because I realized that I wasn't crazy. It started talking about Jesus and I really saw him. Like I saw him and I got it. Like I got it. And when I got it, I'm not crazy at all. I'm being exactly like I'm supposed to be. No. Jesus started talking about it, and this is another chapter, but Jesus started talking about, you know, the world gonna hate you because they hate me. This is John 15. He started talking about if you abide in me, my words about these. They're gonna hate you because they hated me. They're gonna persecute you because they persecuted me, but they shall keep your sayings because they kept mine. Jesus is gonna be let me teach you something. I'm gonna warn you, because if you don't like feeling different, this ain't your role. You just go ahead and quit this class. Cause this class, it's gonna make you, you're gonna go against the grain. You're gonna be an oddball. Your conversation's not gonna be the same as the rest of them. Your look and your function is not gonna be the same. It's not gonna look like church as usual. It'll almost look backwards. You'll look backwards. You'll look like you're wearing the wrong thing. You'll look like you're going the wrong way because the whole flow is going in one direction and they just walking like drones. They walking like zombies and ain't nobody awake. The church as a whole. It's just not true. They just walking like sheep to the slaughter. And they don't understand what's going on. So when you catch this stuff, it'll be different. Your conversations have changed. The people have changed. The functioning of change, and you'll seem like an oddball. You can't be afraid of that. If you're afraid of being ostracized and put on the side and say that you're doing too much or whatever, you're afraid of that, then this ain't for you. Because I guarantee you, you get it, that's coming. Because everybody don't get it. Everybody in your church don't get it. They saved, they got it, but they don't get it. God can use somebody like Apostle. Why you think God used somebody as mighty as he do with Apostle? Listen to him preach, and I ain't never heard, I go everywhere with him. I ain't never heard a stale thing come out of his mouth. I never heard some warmed over. He'll say the same scripture that he said in the meeting before, but it have a whole nother fire to it. Because it's just constantly pouring, but because he got it, and he gets it. So he got it. The reason that everything paid off, because he got it. He got it. He gets it. The reason God can keep using him and using him and using him is because he gets it. He gets what he got. God, use me. Stop screaming all that and do something. You know, Lord, I want you to use me. Okay, get it then. You'll automatically qualify yourself to be used in a mighty way. You automatically qualify yourself to be a pillar in the church, a pillar that they build. You know, they got these load-bearing walls, right? Right in the buildings. You know, you're building a house or you're building a building, there's some walls that you can't move because they call them load-bearing walls. They see, like that thing sticking out from the wall right there, there's a beam right there that bears the load of this ceiling. So we can't remove that because it's a pillar of the building. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Now he's talking about two things. Two things he's talking about. You ready? Two things he's talking about. He's talking about the revelation is the rock, but you become the rock when you get the revelation. Y'all get it? Come on, do you get it? So you got it. So when you got it, but when you get the revelation, right? You become the revelation. It's no longer two separate things. It's no longer something else that's over there and then you right here. No, I am. Everybody say I am.
I am.
Come on, say it again. I am. So when you get it, you are it. And now God can use you and build upon his church. See, what I believe God to do and what I want God to do is for all of us to get it so that we can help somebody else get it. That's the goal. That's witnessing. We got to do a lot of witnessing in church, though. It is not a group project. You know, he said unto them, and they answered. And then he said unto them, but then it got to the point to where the revelation was a singular thing with Peter. Peter stepped out himself. He said, I ain't worried about them. Them ain't got it. Them ain't got it right now. But I'm going to say, well, thou art the Christ. It's an individual thing. The Lord told me the other day to shut up. He told me, shut up. You try to explain stuff to people, try to talk to people about stuff. He told me, shut up. He said, you're trying to explain too much. He said, they're not going to get it. He said, you need to live it in front of them. He said, not going to get it. Shut up. He said, people only going to get revelation when they get it. You can't force it in them. You can't push it in them. Well, how long we been going to church and we didn't get some of the stuff that was going on, right? But I've got to put myself in position. Listen, I've got to put myself in position that when the revelation starts coming forth and it starts touching the revelation on the inside of me, I can get it so it changes me. You're just going to get it when you prepare yourself to get it. You're going to get it when you condition yourself to get it. Do you get why you're reading and praying so much? Do you get why you're doing that? Because you're conditioning yourself to understand. You're conditioning yourself to realize that's what you're doing. We're not trying to work down a road. I already am, right? I already am. I already got it, but I got to realize. I got to make it real. So I can only make it real by the Holy Ghost. I can only make it real by the inspiration. See, I can't make it real on my own. All I can do is put myself in position. I can't pour out anything. I can't create a thing in me myself. But Christ in me creates it all. But I just got to get it. It's an individual thing. We can talk, and we all going to hear the same thing. We all hearing the same message right now. We all hearing it because I'm hearing it too, right? We all hearing the same message tonight. But maybe when we leave here, we're going to get different results because of how we receive it. The Lord started talking to me today, and I wasn't even trying to. Here's how the Lord talks. Here's how he works. You know, they used to say the Lord works in mysterious ways, right? Remember you say that, and they being real mystical. But he just work how he want to work. You can't really figure him out. He say what he want to say when he want to say it. You don't even know what he talking about sometimes. Listen, just write it down and pray in the spirit about it. All right, watch this. Because he started talking about walking out and I walk in the back. I'm up here in the front. And I'm walking the back today in the office to go get a charge for my phone. I walk out that door, that back building. And he said, be it unto you according to your faith. Man, I know, the scriptures. But I said, what are you, like, why? I just listen. I learned to. What you talking about, God? No, I just learned to listen because I know he's going to keep talking, right? He said, "Being in," he started rattling off. He said, "Being in you according to your faith. What measure you meet is measured unto you. Be not mocked. Whatever sword you reap." He started just throwing it out to me, and I said, well, "What are you saying?" He said, "What measure you meet?" He said, and "He started talking about. I've given every man the measure of faith, not a measure, the measure. What measure? The measure for what you need. I've given you the measure. Oh no, I've given you the measure. But he said, what measure you meet is measured unto you." So be it unto you according to your faith. What measure you meet is measured unto you. Come on, what measure you meet is measured unto you. Are you getting it? No, you hear me. What measure you meet is measured unto you. See, what measure that you put out, be not see, God's not mocked, whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. All right, sow a little, get a little. Sow a lot, get a lot. Huh? Is that the principle, right?
Yeah.
Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Huh? What measure you meet is measured unto you. How much time you spending? How much access he got? What do we do the most? What has our ear the most? Are we compartmentalizing God? And we giving him a certain time? But he don't have it all? Lord told me it's a scary thing. People don't want to hear scripture sometimes because what the scripture does to you is scripture come here, Doug. Scripture does this to you. Scripture does this to you. Stand on the wall, put your back to the wall. All right, scripture does this to you. Now if a hole is long enough, you're gonna pass out. But he trusts me, so he'll probably pass out. But normally, what you doing? What you trying to do? What you trying to get me to do? If I'm gonna choke you out, what you gonna do? Yeah, get off me. Get off me. So we get to fight. Stay there, Doug. We get to fight. Come on, the word of God does that. The word of God. be right there on your neck. Jam you up against that wall where you can't move no more. You either gonna make a decision for me or you just gonna do something else. But I'm gonna jam you up against the wall. You don't have a choice. You know, God is very absolute. I know it says sin for you, life and death, but God is really saying, no, this is one. It's very absolute. So that word take you, I ain't gonna push it that hard this time, but that word take you and do like this and jam you up against the wall where you ain't, and put you in a corner where you ain't got nothing to do but die. That's what we need to do is die. We need to die ourselves, but we so scared to die so we get to fighting. See, that word of God comes and gets up in your face. See, they don't want to hear the word. Some people don't want to hear the word because that word comes forth. It challenges you to be different. It challenges you to do something different than what you've been doing. And so now, thank you, Doug. Thank you. So now when it's two things, a personal thing, you can't get this in a group. You got to decide to do it for yourself. And you've got to make a decision that I'm going to meet the measure that I need to be. So all for all. That's what I was going. All for all. We're afraid of all for all. Because what all? The Lord told me that we were singing in worship one night. And the Holy Spirit started giving a song. And he said, all for all. You give me all and I give you all. And I said, whoa. And that sounds a great thing. Praise the Lord. Woo, 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 woo. But the challenge is you give me all, I give you all. I've given you all, but you give me all. Give it up. He said, if you give me all, you can get all. Now, the many times we can't give all, we don't want to forsaken all. Well, what do we get? God, we forsaken all and folly. The rich young ruler couldn't do it because he had great possessions. They prepared the temple. The Lord had prepared the meal. And he said, go out there and tell people, come to the dinner. One said, man, I got a piece of land. I can't come. One said, I just got a new wife. I can't make it over there. I can't make it over there today. Tell him, I appreciate the invitation, but I can't make it. We Martha cumbered about much serving, but Mary chose that thing that was needful. See, it's to the point to where it's going to hold you up against the wall, and you got to give all. Either you're going to do it or you ain't going to do it. No more double dutch no more. You know, anybody ever double dutch with the jump ropes? You did it. You know, when you do double dutch, you know, you got to make up your mind. You just got to jump. You in there. And you can't stop, because if you stop, you're going to get tripped. You're going to get wrapped up. You're going to get wrapped around your neck. Gonna hit y'all in your head. So now we in here now. But you gotta make up your mind to just jump. Jump and just keep moving. You keep moving, you won't get tripped. You just gotta jump though. You get it? But that word jams you up against that wall. Revelation jam you up. So what you gonna do? You gonna talk to me or you ain't? You gonna give me everything or you're not? You give me everything, I'll give you all. But we're afraid because the question that we ask is, and it's the dumbest question in the history of the world, but we do this. And it's because we're not conditioned, because we're tricked. Well, if I give my all, what I'm going to have? If I give all of my time, well, I'm not going to have no time. Did you not hear him say that if you give up all, he told him, he said, because you've forsaken all, he said, you receive houses and lands. 100-fold. That means you'll get more. See, and his all is more than your all. Him giving you all. Think about it for a second. God giving you all of him. We don't think about that enough, so we don't get it. So we don't be excited. Come on. Think about it. No, it's not a quick thing I'm going to say, and then we're going to let it breeze over. Say, like, pause. Calm and think about this. You got all God. Everything God got. Everything he is. It's glory, huh? You got all of him. But what is it that you want after you got all that? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. But you got to give it up. Give it up. You know, our ball life, you know, it's not a. You know, I would hope to. You know, I like being I had to shut up the other day because I like being around the people that, you know, everybody like people around them. They like to have people around that thing. But sometimes it gets to that point where you go into another place that people can't be around. The only people can be around is the people that get it. But you can't be afraid of being by yourself because you ain't by yourself. Do you get it? No, I ain't asked you yet. Did you get it? But you just got to get it. And it's a personal thing. It's not a group effort. It demands change. It demands you to be different. It demands you to do something different. Each revelation, more revelation will be more revealed of you on the inside, and it'll keep coming. It just keeps coming, and it keeps coming, and it keeps changing. And the levels go, 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 and they go higher. And just when you think you couldn't breathe up here, they go a little higher. And God is conditioning you to breathe at a higher place. See, when you when they climb the mountains, you can't just go climb Everest. You got to be conditioned to breathe that way. I got a little breathing mask I use right now. It's called a training mask, and I put it on sometimes, and it don't let you breathe like this. Like, you know, you breathe like that, it constrict the air a little bit. Now you gotta think. You gotta actively think. You get to moving around and you get to running around or whatever, that breath gets short, but you gotta actively think. Now it's not that your lungs ain't got the capacity to do it, not that you can't do it, but you gotta focus on it. When you take that thing off, you're breathing stronger than you've ever breathed before. It's training you, it's conditioning you to breathe deeper, to be able to inhale more, to be able, oh Lord, to be able to inhale more so you can exhale more. Whoa, to be able to, my capacity to receive. All right, so capacity to receive. All right, so how much time I got, Carrie? How much time I got? All right, 5 minutes is enough. All right, now watch this. My capacity to receive. Everybody say my capacity to receive. No. Now watch this. When you're stretching yourself, when you pray, when you study the word, and then when you're praying the Holy Ghost. Now we're gonna deal with praying the Holy Ghost in a minute. For this minute, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're stretching yourself. You're stretching your capacity to receive. You're getting off of your mind and getting on His mind. You're opening yourself up wider so that when more revelation knowledge comes to reveal, to connect with the revelation on the inside of you, you're able to receive. You ever talk to somebody, you thought you had a revelation before, and you talked to them and you was excited about it, you talked to them, you told it to them, and they was like, oh, that's good. Look at you. Look at you getting revelation. And it dropped to the ground. And don't it do something to you? Yes, that's how I keep my mouth. They told me, shut up. Just keep your mouth closed. You get a revelation, just let the thing incubate. All right? Because what happens is, see, I don't know why people think we do, but when we pray before a service so that we can be more open to receive when the word comes forth. You know, the sower soweth the word, right? Right? You know the parable of the sower soweth the word, right? We ain't got the time to go there. We'll talk about it next time, but the sower soweth the word. So now, I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, so I'm opening this thing up. I'm opening up my mind. I'm opening up wider so that the seed, when I'm praying in the spirit, you know, in the morning you get up, you go to sleep. It happens every day. All right? This happens every day. It don't matter how anointed you was when you go to sleep. You could have went to sleep with the fresh oil sitting in your bed. When the morning you wake up, you're going to be a little dull. Some people wake up a little better than others, but you still look cold. And so you start praying. You start breaking up. It reminds me of we used to have a garden in the backyard when I was younger. And my aunt had a garden in the backyard. And before you go down to sow the seeds, you have to till that ground, and go there and open that ground up. And it'll break up the ground. Then you got to open it up. Wow, what you opening up for? For the seed. All right. So we pray the Holy Ghost. You open it. Holy Spirit is opening you up, widening you up, so that you can receive. So now you're not dull when revelation knowledge comes out of somebody's mouth, because you're able to receive it and you understand and you get it and you're able to receive it on the inside of you. But you don't get it yet. All right, watch this. But you received it. All right, but you ain't got it yet, but you received it, all right? So the Holy Spirit showed me something other day. I was talking to some friends of mine, and we were just talking about some things, and the Spirit started talking to us, and I said, I wasn't even thinking. And this is how Holy Ghost do it to you. He said, I told him, I said, I jumped off, and I've never said this before. I said, y'all, listen, when we get off the phone, pray in the Spirit about this a little while, you know, so we can keep it. And I said, what? You know, it was one of them things. Holy Spirit talk like that, boy. He'll talk through you, and you got to be listening, though. He'll talk through you, but you got to be listening. You know, he don't have to talk out there. He talks in here. He'll talk through you. You got to be listening. So he said, y'all praying in the Spirit. And I said, what? I said, whoa. You guys, I said, whoa. Hold on. The Holy Spirit showed me. He said, what you're praying to open yourself. When you're praying in the Spirit, you open yourself so you can receive, right? He said, right when you get a revelation. Now, you can do this for your personal life. You can do this after service. You can do that after this class. But and it's easy because you can pray in the Spirit whenever you want, huh? Start praying in the spirit right now. Pray. You can pray whenever you want. When they teach you about being filled with the Holy Ghost, they tell you you can start and stop. Stop. You can start and stop when you want. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. It's your personal prayer language, ain't it? Now we got a little quick class on praying the Holy Ghost. Now what happens is we're open. We do it so we're open. So now that seed drops. Now there's something else happens when that seed drops. As soon as the seed come, what the Bible say? Who come? The devil comes to steal. So right when you get it, he right there. It said immediately he comes. It don't say he wait till you get home. It don't say he wait till you get in the car. It says immediately as you get it, he right there because he understand how seed work. And if seed ever get down in there and really get rooted in there and start taking place, he going to lose his ground. So immediately he comes. Well, how do we stop? How do we stop him from stealing our seed? Because we get our seed stolen with little frivolous conversations right after church. All right, after this, we're just talking about the game and talking about whatever. Hey, I'm not saying don't ever talk about the game, but you got to get this seed planted. The Holy Ghost told me, he said, right after you get revelation, even personally, if I tell you something personally in your house and ain't nobody taught it to you and I just told you something, he said, take a minute and pray in the Holy Spirit after. He said, because what you're doing is you're allowing the Holy Ghost. See, when they plant those seeds, they don't just drop them and walk by. They take the seed, put it in the ground, and they push it. Take the finger and they push it down in the ground, but there's something else they do. Cover it back up. You cover it up. Now, watch this. Now you cover it up where they can't come in and steal. The birds can't come in and steal. And now you got a scripture. That word is hidden now because nobody even know it's there. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So now you pray in the spirit right after you get revelation. Pray in the spirit right after you get revelation. And it allows the Holy Spirit to push that thing down in you and then cover it up. And so now you don't lose it. All right, how many times we didn't got revelation service and we lost it right after? And the sister or the brother in church that always come after every service is going to come. And the enemy will use him to steal your seed. He'll use me. You come, let me come talk to y'all in my ear. We all got to be focused. I'm up here talking to you. We laughing and talking. Now, I probably been prayed about my seed already. That's how it works. But it's a personal thing. Everybody say personal. I'm going to say it again, personal. As a person, listen, now when you get revelation, now I don't care, tomorrow morning God will give you revelation. Right after that, when you start praying, let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. And we do the prayer groups, and I understand when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is going to start speaking to you. It's a guaranteed thing. It is not an if or but or maybe, it's a guaranteed thing. But now, so when the Holy Spirit tells you something, he's going to tell you something about you. Who about you? He's not going to deliver you no message about it. Go tell the church. No, he's going to tell you. You better tell the church and you. And what you do is pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. You don't even got to pray no hour. Pray in the spirit 5-10 minutes. Just pray enough to cover that thing up. To cover it up. You cover it up. Y'all going to be praying in the spirit after we get out of the club, boy. And that's good, though. And you cover it up so that way it can't get stolen from you. Now, as long as it stays down there, they got a chance to break open. The Bible said the seed got to go in the ground first and then die. And then crack open, and it starts coming out of the seed and taking root. Then it cracks the ground in manifestation. You get it? I ain't asking yes sir nothing. Come on, do you get it? How soon do we forget? Do you get it? So y'all take a little time. Don't go talk to nobody after this. Take a little time. Just take a couple seconds. And pray in the spirit. You ain't got to get in the corner on your knees and nothing like that. Just pray in the spirit for a second and let the revelation get covered. I'm going to do it when I leave out here because I got some stuff. All right? And then I'm going to just let it get covered. Let it just cover it up. You know, it's quicker to cover it up than it is to dig the hole. So just cover it up. Do your hand. Come on, just cover it up. Just cover it up and then it's covered, then you got it, all right? You ain't got to stay here and pray corporately. Just get up. When you're putting your books together, just pray in the spirit. All right, and then cover that thing, and then you're good. Amen.